right here, right now, every day. CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city.
And welcome back to Sex City here on CIUT every Tuesday night from 11 p.m. to midnight, talking all about sex and sexuality and gender and everything that encompasses, which frankly, it's pretty much everything. I don't know. I think we can maybe agree on that. My name is John Presick. I'm one of the Sex City hosts. And this week we have our special co-host, Lisa Booker. And we are now very happy to welcome the founders of a new group in Ontario, which is doing great work. And I heartily recommend finding the website and getting on the newsletter list. Matt and Shadow Girl from Ontario Kink. This is fantastic to have you guys.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Maybe just before we get in, tell us a little bit about Ontario Kink and what you're doing on the site and everything that's going on.
Okay. Basically, it was a website. It was an idea that we had because we wanted to get the kink community to talk more openly about things like consent. And also, we knew that there was a lot of people out there, especially with the prominence of 50 Shades. We wanted to get people introduced to proper material, educational material, rather than just stumble about and try to find their way as they explore, the 50 Shades content kind of thing. So it was an idea that we had, and we're trying to grow it to make it as comprehensive as possible, but both to get people involved in the kink community and ultimately just to educate people on things like consent and how to, have fulfilling sex lives and kink lives with their partners.
Which is fantastic. It's like I said, get on the newsletter mailing list. The first or second newsletter came out not too long ago, and I remember getting it in my inbox and going like, oh, that thing's awesome. That's a great resource. And I'm just going to guess, I'm just throwing it out there as a guess, that when this whole Jean Gomeshi thing came down and you got to read his statement saying, I'm just a BDSM lover and I did everything by the books, and then things started to come out that it was just like, oh my god, what are you doing to us, you
I think there was a little bit of that. I think the initial reaction from many people, myself included, was, if what he is saying is true, then this is something we all need to care about, because we can all see ourselves being in that position. I mean, lots of people could lose their jobs based on what they do in their private sex life. Mm-hmm. And if what he had been saying was true, then it's definitely something we should probably, rally behind in a way to try to at least make sure that the truth comes out. And it's, consensual acts between adults should not have any result on your work life. As long as it's kept out of work, then that's fine. And as more of the allegations, more of the information came through, I think a lot of people were very disgusted at what they were hearing. And I know I was. I know Shadow Girl also.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely was disgusting to hear the things that he was claiming was consensual kink. Because everything that we've heard from these women is the complete opposite of what we look for in the community and what we kind of stand for. So,
that's a horror story.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely was. It was something that, although it brought kink to the forefront, it was in a negative light, and that was something that many people are not comfortable with. And unfortunately, the reaction when that happens is that kinksters tend to want to hide. They don't want to be grouped in with somebody like Gian Gomeshi. And so rather than confront it and say, hold on, what I do is not what this guy is describing, or not what, we're finding out about this guy. And as a result, a lot of people who should have been maybe at the forefront talking about consent and what that means and how much fun you can have in a kinky relationship, those people decided to hide in the background. Luckily, there's a lot of people that are still willing to talk about it. But this is definitely the time to do that and educate people on what consent really is.
Yeah, it did seem very galvanizing. Not being greatly involved in the kink community per se, but knowing a number of people who are, I did see a lot of response in the day, 2 days, 3 days afterwards of people responding to this. Now, and it was very interesting because, I mean, you mentioned it, the words that are 50 Shades, of how 50 Shades of Grey has been, you know, for the good or bad, your perspective of opening the idea of kink and BDSM to millions of people, that it was a topic that was readily discussed almost by people. I take the GO train. I would catch people chatting about it on the GO train.
Yeah.
And in the craze of it, I was seeing like 20, 30 people reading the books in one train ride. And people actively discussing openly. But at the same time, when this happened, it seemed like it was shut down. But then, like you said, there were some people that were making statements. And the very day, I mean, his statement, that Facebook thing that he put out, seemed like such a calculated and very well-crafted.
Yeah.
I don't know if he hoped that it was going to ride him through the whole thing, but it was very well-crafted to frame it.
Absolutely. Reading it the first time, I got goosebumps because literally everything in there has been a fear for me at one point that maybe I would get outed and that my employer would have an issue with what I do, despite the fact that it is all consensual and we discuss it, we negotiate. But you know, there is moral clauses in many employment contracts. So really the judgment comes down to what the employer is okay with, what they're not. And hearing what he was saying and taking that at face value, you were kind of left going, well, oh God, this could be me. And it was only once, you know, the true story started to develop and allegations were brought forward, that people were able to step back and realize what the truth was. However, like you said, it was very calculated. It left most people reading it either saying, wow, this guy truly is a kinkster because he's saying exactly what I would say in that position. Mm-hmm. Or other people who are perhaps a bit more cynical would look at it and say, well, he definitely has hired people that have, you know, done their research. They've looked into the kink community. Yeah. They've looked at the way that it would be worded by kinksters. And that is what they replicated. And they got a lot of sympathy out of it. I don't know if you looked at any of the comments on his post, but there was hundreds of people, you know, basically defending his actions, and not knowing the true story, of course. But there was a lot of people rallying behind him, basically saying that, you know, the government and the worker workplace has no view in your bedroom. It should be staying removed. And I think that that's true. However, in this case, we're learning that there was a hell of a lot more to it than what he was professing on Facebook. So.
You bring up a very interesting point, something that became a topic whenever I was discussing this with people in the few days afterwards before all of the more and more allegations came out. But I happen to also work for the government, and I know that if I were to do something publicly that were to bring disrepute upon the government, then that violates my morality clause. And I would
you
be
and
fired.
Every MP out there,
pretty much. Yeah, I know. Except you know they'll get far more severance than I
will. But
that the idea of this morality clause and the problematic nature of these wide ranging ideas of a morality clause that you know maybe someone who is a public figure who happens to enjoy, and maybe if he was totally on the up and up and 100% consensual and there was no issue and it wasn't allegations of assault coming out, but just someone discussing him in a public way, and he was an angel of the BDSM community, he could still potentially be
at risk
for losing his job. And you mentioned that, you know, your own fears, and that is a definite fear. Now, even in this climate of post 50 Shades and everything, is there do you see that maybe we could possibly ever move away from this fear? Like, is this something that employers and society are ever going to be able to move away from?
I feel like the trend of it being taken off the DSM is a big movement towards taking it out of psychological, out of being a psychological disorder and into being a more accepted activities. I think that's a huge, huge thing that happened recently. So,
yeah, and is that that's the DSM-5?
It's DSM-5, yeah.
Diagnostic. I can't remember the acronym, what it stands for, but it's basically
studies manual or something like that.
Yeah, what goes into psychological and psychiatric study and
it's how
disciplines.
It's how you diagnose patients.
Right.
You use it for diagnosis.
And BDSM has been taken out.
Yeah, it used to be under paraphilias in the DSM-4, but has been taken out and is only considered a mental disorder if it's causing the patient distress. So normal BDSM is considered normal, consensual, as far as psychologically.
Mm-hmm. So now, moving forward with Ontario Kink, is this something that, there's the one idea of, like, keeping up with the case and the situation. Is this something that you are planning to do further outreach on to maybe help people understand BDSM in a general sense, like beyond the community into the greater community and society?
Well, I mean, the great thing, because it's always good to go through life looking for a silver lining, as sad as it is that he was able to do this with these women, it does provide us an opportunity with the just consent in general, that we can get people discussing what consent is all about, how to negotiate things properly, what their rights are. Even when they feel that their consent has been violated, how to handle that, whether it be to discuss it with a person, discuss it with, some other form of help, or to go to the police. So really this this case, although it's very clear now that it's not necessarily a consensual BDSM case, it is a talking point for us. It's an opportunity for us to clarify what consensual kink is all about, why it can be a very good thing, and how to go about it properly. And that's certainly something that, we've decided that Ontario Kink really needs to focus on. Our website was designed mostly to help educate people. And so we do every once in a while when items like this come in the news. Yeah, we're gonna take advantage of that unfortunate situation and use it as an opportunity to talk to people about it. Because there are people out there who are not aware of what kink truly is. I mean, maybe they're just reading a story that they read online where the person was a 24/7 slave or something like that. And they say, well, I was really turned on by that, so I need to be that way. I don't have any rights in that relationship. And that's BS. So we want to get out there and basically talk to people, let them know what consent is all about, how to develop healthy relationships and stay away from those situations that will leave them abused and hurt.
So how do we go about consent properly?
Well, that's a difficult question in a way. It's simple in terms of you need to discuss everything. The problem is that people don't look at consent as being a sexy thing, partially because in many ways it's not. In other ways, it can be really sexy. And I think your future guests in the next segment will get into that more. But really, negotiating everything is a big part of making consent an integral part of relationships, whether they be a vanilla relationship or a, kinky BDSM relationship. All of those relationships, you do need to have consent to proceed past, a casual date somewhere. So really what we do in the kink community, being in kinky relationships, is no different from what other people are doing, having discussed, hey, do you want to have sex? Yes, I do. We just go a step further and say, yes, I want to have sex, but I want it to follow this pattern. I want to involve these things, and I think that's the important discussion that we all need to be having. And it's definitely something that all parties involved need to take an active part in. Otherwise, without that open communication, it will stay a taboo thing. It will be something where there are many, many problems going down the road. We'll hear many cases in the news. where people, you know, did not respect consent, and
or are using BDSM as a cover for,
which is what we're seeing in this case. And it's unfortunate that we get grouped in with people like Gomeshi, but it definitely does give us a chance to kind of come to the forefront and talk about it openly. So.
Yeah, and that's what we will, like Matt said. I know Matt from his podcast, yes, the O-Team, so he knows how to throw to the next segment, and we are going to do just that. We're thanking Matt and Shadow Girl for coming up and chatting with us, and by all means, check out OntarioKink.com and give it a look and sign up for that newsletter. Thanks for coming on tonight.
It was a pleasure.
All right, we're going to take a quick little listen to Bandages from Hot Hot Heat and be back on Sex City.